This is a Pinball News production.
Okay, everybody, we're going to start the session and go for an hour. So I'm Rick Bartlett. I'm part of Planetary Pinball Supply, and welcome, everybody. It's great to be in Texas, and I think Ed Vanderveen and all the team should be getting a big applause for a really good show. I haven't been here for 3 years, and it's a really wonderful setup and environment. So we're happy to be here. So I'm going to go through a little bit about what we're doing at Planetary Pinball, and then take the last half of the session to go through the medieval. Okay, got it. All right, so basically who we are is we're a licensee of Williams Gaming, Williams Electronics Games, and we manufacture, sell, distribute replacement pinball parts, and now we also do merchandise for pinball. So that's new as of October 2013, and there's two people, Matt and myself. Matt's not here, and our team. So we have warehouse and all the things that you do when you have a lot of parts, and art department and parts development. And we also make our own digital reproduction art. So we do cabinet decals and translites and all sorts of stuff like that. We spend a lot of time trying to figure out how to do short run parts. So that's just the nature of the beast these days. We're in San Jose, California. I've been in business 3.5 years since we launched in Chicago in 2010, and we have a website at pinball.com. Okay, I'm just going to quickly go through what we're doing in 2014. So we're continuing with replacement parts, whether it be working with a number of suppliers or doing it ourselves. We just continue to create more and more parts and just keep trying to figure out what's needed and try to figure out how to get that going. We do more art development, so we do new cabinet decals and translites as soon as we can get those done, and then we get more and more people to work with us to get more done. Okay. We just, you know, started pinball merchandise, and if you go into the show, the pinballswag.com is one of, Greg Campbell is one of our suppliers that's working with us to put together some of the merchandise, as well as we brought some merchandise down. So you'll now start to see all sorts of Williams Bally artwork related merchandise, and thanks to Roger Sharp for helping us. After many years of desperately trying to get that to happen, we finally got it done and finally starting to see some things out. So now you can have your very own Williams trash can or wonderful things like that, and be able to do what you need to do. Okay, so we've got a lot of stuff coming there, spending a lot of time getting things done. And then the last thing that we're doing, which is part of the medieval, is we're, you know, PPS's job was never really to try to make games ourselves. We don't want to be a factory, we don't want to be a pinball factory. But what we do is we use the Williams IP to extend and enable games to be made. You know, so we did license to Jersey Jack for Wizard of Oz, and then obviously we're in the remakes of with Chicago Gaming to do Medieval Madness and possibly who knows what else. And then another thing that we're working on right now is, and we've gotten approval with Williams, is to extend existing games. So we can modify the code and make extensions and make playfield extensions to existing games. So I'm calling it WPC 2.0 because that's generally the category of games that we're going to be focusing on right now, and we'll talk a little bit more about it. One of the things that we just did yesterday is actually close on the Bride of Pinbot 2.0 with the Dutch Pinball guys. So there's a kit that you can, you know, buy the whole kit and turn your Bride of Pinbot into a much more advanced with a DMD 2.0 game. New hardware, new titles coming soon. Okay. Merchandise, lots of stuff: pinball mats, pinball posters, pinball aprons, pinball everything. So there's going to be lots of pinball stuff to buy. So parts that we make. This is stuff that we've been making for, you know, since we started the business and before. Just lots of what you would expect us to make. A lot of art-related stuff, brackets and common stuff, and so on and so forth. Okay? Coming soon, this WPC 2.0. What we're trying to do now is start up an initiative to put all the things together to make a classic WPC or WPC 95 kind of go to the next level. And, you know, what that involves is newer extended code. So we have the ability to modify any of the Williams code and put it out there as a new revision. We want to put in optional feature extensions. So if we want to add a saw to Theater of Magic, a feature that was originally pulled out, we can now do that. And can be original code, sound or audio, or it can be rewritten. So we can either, you know, if a game didn't have a DMD, we can put a DMD on it. If we want to extend the rules, we can extend the rules. If we want to modify the sound, we can do that. So how do we do that is now we're able to do that with a license, in our license with Williams Games, that we can then create the game update. So that's why I'm calling version 2.0. And then hardware to support the environment. So it's not only having the software, but getting kind of past the legacy platform for a number of reasons. And we've done that on the medieval. You'll see, you know, new hardware in that to run as a CPU. We've also partnered with a company called Fast Pinball. It used to be Skillshot Pinball. So they've just created a WPC controller that's actually running a Bram Stoker Dracula in there. And that will be able to plug in as a CPU would and basically run any new code on new platforms in your WPC or WPC 95 games. So there's going to be some evolution of hardware to run new stacks of software, you know, both old emulated code as well as new, new fourth generation language code to be able to run new versions of new games. Okay? So that's kind of what's coming, and it will be coming during the year. In different parts, you know, in different software and hardware rollouts and things like that. One of the things that we are doing is John Papaduke is working with us to do either a version of Tales of Arabian Nights or Circus Voltaire 2.0. So that means we're going to try as we can to work with the original game designers, in this case John, to work on taking, you know, the original design and who best to work with than the original designers who knew what features were not included, extensions, rules that they could never put in, and really do that work to get to that level and then create that and package that into a new version of the game. We're also kind of got another entity, I can't say who it is right now, working on a Funhouse 2.0. So similar to Bride of Pinbot 2.0 of taking Funhouse and putting in a DMD with animation and writing the rules around that. So again, just trying to extend what the franchise was for Williams and Bally and try to put in some additional features and extend the platform and so on and so forth. So I think that's the sum of what we're at right now, and that's what we're working on between, you know, kind of the parts, the merchandise, and the games, you know. And obviously, you know, on top of that, let me just go quickly. This is a picture of kind of what, you know, it's cut off on the left-hand side, but basically what is happening in the pinball development world is you've got, you know, a bunch of legacy code, and in fact, on the medieval, we're running the original ROM code. You know, there's no changes to the code. It's all being run underneath or on top of an emulator that's basically behaving the way the system would have behaved on the original platform. And then that runs on top of new hardware, and then that new hardware runs to a new set of boards and interfaces on that system. So what we've got now is an environment that you can take that original software and run it on, you know, the original hardware, or you can run it on new hardware environment, or you can start running higher level languages like Python or other things on these boards and then run those either on old hardware or new hardware, or you can start to work on new development kits. So this is kind of the environment that we're starting to embrace and kind of get all the pieces lined up between the programming and the software and the hardware and all the permissions and all the rights to get to be able to just enable a bunch of new upgraded games and upgraded experiences. So we think that'll be a fun thing to work on this year, and you know, there's a lot of pieces that need to get put together, but we're starting to see those out now that are running hard, you know, running the software and so on and so forth. Okay? So, you know, more on that, you know, through the next, you know, middle of the year, towards the end of the year, you'll start to see some things coming out. So the Medieval Madness remake, we're going to spend the rest of the time on that. Well, let me just stop. Is there anything on question-wise on everything but Medieval, if anybody has? Yeah.
I'm just not clear on the remakes of Medieval, how much of those are ground up productions, how much of those are graphic, Voltaire?
Those would be software only, so not... Yeah, so think of the 2.0 that I'm calling it as not a remake of the game, but a new version of the software and maybe some hardware features, you know, add-ons, a shaker motor or new audio or new video or maybe some playfield extensions. So you take your existing Tales of Arabian Nights and maybe there was a feature that they took out, you know, like Third Magnet in Twilight Zone is a good example. And we'll create kits to add those back in, okay? So the original designers often had a bunch of features that they got pulled out, either because of budget or because of timing. And if we can get those put back in, you know, the actual saw on Theater of Magic is another example where that's become an aftermarket kit. So there's a number of those things in a number of games that, especially if you go and hook up with the original designer, which in this case we have with John, that we can then get the insight to say, Joy, you know, here's all the features that he either wanted to put in that couldn't, or wanted to put in but never got the chance to, and that's what we're talking about. So 2.0 is, think of it as kind of a kit extension to your existing game. A remake is a whole new game that you buy, okay? You know, and obviously they're going to share some common hardware and some opportunities for software and things like that, but you know, the idea is, you know, the remakes are going to go ahead and be, you know, a complete game remade from scratch, you know, obviously the same look and feel as the original game. And then the 2.0s are going to go out as kind of kit extensions, much like the Bride of Pinbot 2.0. And we're going to do that for a few games and see how that goes. Okay? All right, so... Now, you know, for the Medieval Madness, we've got two games over in the other room, one here now, right now. The games that we brought are pilot games, so we're going to call them prototype or pilot games, which means that those are games that have basically all of the electronics and the software in a close to final state and as many of the parts as made sense, but basically have some pieces, parts that we have to finish and artwork that we might have to revise and so on and so forth. But the idea was that we wanted to bring out to the show to get basically to say, here's what the game's going to be, you know, plus or minus some, you know, feedback loops that we need to go and some bugs that we need to fix. But, you know, basically we've been playing it for the last, you know, since Friday afternoon and the game's playing wonderfully. And so... that's the game that we brought here this weekend, and then, you know, we move forward to the next stages. But wanted to introduce Doug Duba, who's the president of Chicago of Chicago Gaming, and Dave Orman, who's the design engineer, primarily on the electronics, but usually you have to do everything there. And so I wanted them to go through a little bit of the experience around the Medieval, what they kind of had to do, what the design changes are, open it up, show you kind of what's going on in there, And then, you know, hopefully I'll have time, if not here outside, for any additional questions. But, you know, it's building a pinball machine is not a simple thing. You know, if, I don't know if Jack's in the room, but, you know, it is, you know, people would say, well, gee, the game already exists. You know what to do. I think Doug can share a number of anecdotes where it doesn't work out that way all the time. So we're excited to bring this to the show, and then we can turn it over to Doug, maybe give an introduction, kind of overview what the big pieces are, what the challenges are, what's been updated, so on and so forth, and then we'll set up for questions, okay? All right, Doug?
Yeah, perhaps we can have those who want to come down and open up the game, start walking through it,
sure.
And explain some of the design intentions.
So if you guys want to come up, we'll see how that works. I don't know if we have a camera or anything that we can do, but.
So a couple of our initial
this
goals.
This is like totally medieval.
Were to minimize build time and to make the product as serviceable as possible. You want to open up the electronics have been reduced to a significantly smaller platform, as you can see. We're using an LCD display. The owner will be able to set the LCD display to one of five colors. There's a stock amber, there's a red, there's a cyan, a violet, and a gold. So you'll be able to, this is set in green, this is set to green, obviously. So you'll be able to set that and change it at any time. It's just an operator setting. The display colors are settable by the user.
So just for everybody that can't see what's going on, you know, let me just give you a background overview. So we've basically taken an existing medieval, and there's been some, you know, major design changes to the electronics. So the electronics have all been upgraded to a new platform running a very small board in the back, which is basically an off-the-shelf CPU called a BeagleBone Black. Which I think is about $45 plus running on top of a pinball controller, and that's all that's really in the back box. And then underneath the back box is, instead of a large wiring harness, is a large lamp board, as well as power driver has been turned into one-third pieces. And that basically is the equivalent of what was running a Medieval Madness in 1997. And so that's kind of what the team has done, you know, in terms of the electronics. And then, you know, clearly there's been some things in terms of LEDs and how they've been done, as well as the power driver for, you know, a lot of concerns about serviceability and stuff. And maybe, Doug, you should kind of highlight what's going on with that.
Sure. Absolutely. So you see the main board is primarily a light board. And there are three satellite driver boards attached to that. Those are most likely your items that might need maintenance, replacing a FET. As you can see, it's very simple now. You remove one of the three boards, and it's just a few plugs. The whole goal is to make everything easy to service, everything easy to replace. And I think the modular design has accomplished that. We're using all LEDs. Dave's come up with a creative means of ensuring that those continue to run. Each insert is lit by three LEDs,
wants to see.
And it's set up in such a way where if any one of the LEDs is to burn out, the other two become brighter.
The
LEDs are rated at 50,000 hours, so by the time you add that extra precaution, you're going to have an extremely reliable platform that nearly never will require the changing of a board. We use exclusively LEDs in the back box.
All the
on
same.
The play field and
so
throughout the game.
The power driver board in the thirds.
As you can see, removing the play field, removing the back box is much simpler. Right now, the only thing that connects the main board to the play field is a single Ethernet coupler, single Ethernet cable, much like the Cat5 cable you use on your computer.
Yes.
You unplug that, you could remove the entire play field, take it out. You can easily take the back box off to carry it down in your basement. So it's just simpler to service and maintain the game. The power runs through this cable. There's a single power cable. Yeah. So right now, we are working on a brightness setting where we can actually reduce the brightness a little for those who want a dimmer playfield. We're definitely brighter. than the original. The goal was to kind of still make it look like it came out of 2014 while respecting the original design and appearance of the game. The original had very dim
LED.
That's automatic. That's a hardware design. So as I understand, he's gating the current going into the LEDs. And so
might work better.
You know, no, they're surface mount LEDs. The GIs are not.
So
the GIs are actually a miniature bayonet LEDs. They're all the same. All driver boards are the same, all three. So currently we do not support the color DMD. We're looking at some options. Our hardware does support color, and we can do anything that
was done on the color DMD with
our existing hardware. It would be a software change, but we haven't yet written software to do that, to have multicolor.
Okay. So resistance we get on anything.
They're custom designed for this game, but they'll be used in future games as well, so they'll be interchangeable between games. The only piece of hardware that will be unique to this game versus all the other remakes is the main LED playfield board.
But
so we were actually able to obtain the original source audio files, the uncompressed audio files. And so I believe we've achieved a slightly better audio than the original. Yeah, it's cleaner. It was all CD quality audio, uncompressed.
Originally, there were storage constraints, the EEPROMs, and so much of that was very compressed.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I have a space station that needs a new panel.
You know, probably the retail cost is probably around $70.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, Dave, can you?
I think they're an NTP 4012, 1012. I figured off the top of my head. If you want to read one. These FETs are rated for 58 amps at 100 volts. Because they're FETs, the impedance on them when they're on is, 8 to 15 milliohms, whereas the original solenoid drivers were 8-amp drivers, 100-volt, and on resistance was probably 1 or 2 ohms minimum. So, and if you want a better transistor, there are some available for about 50 cents more, but they're drop-in. The standard solenoid drivers they use were 8 amp. I think they went to a 15 or 20 amp PMP transistor for the flipper drivers or high current drivers. So even compared to the flipper drivers were way over double their ratings. And the standard solenoid drivers... Yes, they are through-hole.
Yeah, the driver transistors and the pre-driver transistors are on through-hole components. So for everybody's happiness, you can now get your existing soldering iron out, and if you ever need to, you can replace those transistors and handle that. So anywhere there was a major fail opportunity, then that was going to be put into a through-hole component or a socketed one. Anything else?
Rick, do you want to walk through the differences between the LE and the standard?
Yeah. Why don't we get everybody back down, and then we can kind of go through some of the obvious differences and similarities. So, if you look at the overall board, the overall game, what we started with is all the art is brand new. So the cabinet sides were instead of using the existing, and there was no existing silk screens. So just in case anybody had that question, so what we did is we took a really good example of a cabinet and scanned it at high res and redid the artwork, and it's much probably the best artwork that's out there for medievals. And then the play field's been completely redone, so that's a new play field that Chicago Gaming has made, and Translite. The Translite in that game is a legacy one that we're just working on getting the last version of a Translite done, but we have all the artwork. It's just the last version that we had was not quite perfect. And then all the plastics are original film plastics that we get today, and you know, most everything else is standard fare. You know, all the parts are you know, from Williams Blueprints that I provided to Chicago Gaming, and so, you know, either original suppliers or new tooling or you know, new suppliers to go make those parts per the original spec.
And I would say, yeah, go ahead. For the majority of the parts, we've been able to find the original tool. We're using the original manufacturer. So the mechanicals are going to feel the same as they, most of them have been run off the original tools.
Right. So, you know, so other than that, you know, the original doors are the original doors. And, you know, other than primarily the electronics platform, you know, the wiring harness and the board layouts, you know, the game is, for all intents and purposes, the original parts game. Now, what we have done is obviously taken advantage of the new electronics, and the new electronics allow us to get a couple of things. One is at the CPU, we've been able to insert in upgraded audio and then also use original audio files, so uncompressed audio files. So we have access to the original uncompressed audio files, which will give you a more quality than obviously a compressed file. So those are in there now, as well as the video or the audio. You know, the DMD equivalent is driven on an LCD display. So the LCD display right now is coming to you in 8 selectable colors. You've seen the green one and the amber one. There's a bunch of other colors, and then the plan is to upgrade that to a colorized, you know, DMD in the next few months. And so that'll be an upgrade for LE owners that we can just give them the software upgrade. And then the audio, the DMD, shaker motor support is in there. So the shaker motor captures triggers like the castle exploding and things like that. And then fires off the shaker motor. And the reason the shaker motor is not in right now is?
You know, it just hasn't been integrated yet from a hardware standpoint. The hardware is there, I should say, from a software standpoint. It's okay. But it's imminent. It'll be in there shortly.
Okay. So the shaker motor is just a final thing to put in. And, you know, and then that's primarily it. Obviously, the LEs will include the infamous trim option, which has probably upset more people than it's worth. But the idea was that we were going to offer either a gold trim or a silver trim, you know, the stainless silver trim. And then the challenge has been trying to figure out what gold to use. And if I haven't posted this at least, you know, 20 different ways, it's not as simple as it looks. So the issue tends to be that gold or brass. When I say gold, a lot of people are really thinking a shiny brass finish, is also a very easy to scratch finish, and also a very easy to wear off finish, and also, especially for lockdown bars, a disaster in terms of putting a finish that will not, you know, erode from your hands sweating all over it all day long. So the issue has been trying to figure out a finish that will be durable, but will also be gold and will also, you know, be attractive and what people want. And so that tends to be a challenge. And, you know, maybe Doug, I don't know if you want to go into where you've ended up on this, but, you know, this is what worked the best from what we had available to do. And there's been a number of different color choices and variations and so on and so forth. But, you know, I think for all intents and purposes, this is kind of the proposed gold, you know, and then I think what we've heard is obviously that, you know, people either like it or they don't like it. I think if we put a bright brass gold on it, then we'd get a number of people, especially after we ship the game, that would want replacements because it would be scratched on the way with the foam rubbing against it or some some semblance of issues that come out of that. So, you know, I think what we sat and talked about it, and we're basically going to issue a black. So we're going to have a black as an option. So we're going to have the gold, the silver, and a black. Okay, it's not that emotional to me. It's emotional to a lot of people, but it's basically, we'll put a black in as a choice, and nobody needs to go run to your distributors in the next 5 minutes. We'll be putting out a query of what choice you want to finalize before shipment and so on and so forth. So, but I think that's the bottom line, is we'll come up with a decent black. You know, it'll be a powder-coated black. It will not be a black nickel finish, so I've already answered that one a half dozen times as well as to why black nickel is not good. But there are a couple other finishes that will... we have ample opportunity in the next couple of shows to kind of bring some samples and get the feedback, but I think we'll take it there. That is powder coated. Yeah. So I think that's really the difference between the LE and the non-LE is the standard, you know, has no shaker motor and no gold trim, and, you know, or black trim as the case may be now. And then, and we've just expanded that for the LE owners to black. So that's the big decision of the day. And so hopefully that'll put everybody at ease to at least give you the option of doing that. Any other notes or comments?
That's all I have.
Okay. Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, it is what it is. It's been working fine since we brought them here, so haven't crashed, haven't, you know, had an oh shit moment that we have to go figure out, so that's a good thing. And then the point of bringing the games here is just get the feedback and make any adjustments that we need to adjust and go from there. So, any questions? Yeah.
You mentioned on the color DMD, the colorization would be available for the LE.
Yeah.
Owners, is it available for standard owners as well?
We got to figure it out.
I think it's most likely going to be an upgrade available to anybody. Yeah. I think Rick mentioned a couple months. I think we will not be done with that in a couple months. I would say it would probably be sometime early next year. But the hardware is there to do it, and you know, it's really it's all software at this point.
When I was at Expo and up there last year, there was concern about the people that owned the Williams Medieval Madness, but the collectability of the machine. They were afraid the value was going to go down. What's your concern about it now?
I didn't have any concerns at the time, and I don't have any concerns now. I have concerns that people that want the game have an ability to get the game. That's everything else the market will take care of. But I honestly don't think that I've talked to a number of people, and I think there's as many pros and cons of how markets behave that is a little bit different than what a lot of people emotionally react to. So, yeah, I mean, you know, bubbles come out of things, probably because there wasn't any access to the game, so people were paying outrageous amounts of money for something that they couldn't get. Now that there's a promise that they can get something, some of the money comes out of it. I don't know that that affects how much it costs to restore a game or things like that. So. But that's not for me, you know, to worry about. We're just trying to get people the games that they've ordered, and that's what we do. Anybody else? Yeah.
So a couple of quick questions. Just if we've moved since we ordered, do we just email you the updated address? And do you know approximately, now that we've tried them out, things like that, when do you think they're going to start shipping for the LEs?
Okay, so depending on who you've ordered it through, you should let them know that your address has changed. So if it's us, if it's
you,
Jack, or whatever, then just email us and say, changed address, you know, send it to this one.
Okay.
We'll verify before we go get to that point anyways. In terms of the ship date, we're still on track for a Q2. Probably going to be Q2 late, but Q2. Q2 is end of June is the end of Q2. You know, what happens in this stage now is that we're going to take these pilot prototype games, and now we're going to start putting together, you know, all the parts are being ordered, have been ordered, will be ordered, continue to be ordered, and we're just getting boxes of parts in. And then the next stage is putting together a bunch of what we would call pre-production games that would be effectively the final versions, as final as you can get of everything, checking that all the parts are coming in right, so on and so forth. And then those games would be, you know, effectively plus or minus some problem child parts, you know, the production game, just mainly hand-built because we don't have the line up and running. And then those would be put out to test, you know, at shows or at a bar or whatever, and then get some feedback on those. And then that would be driving the feedback for the production. So that's what needs to happen between now and end of June. And, you know, anything can happen. You know, it could be that a part comes in upside down or backwards or with four holes instead of three holes, and it took a month to get them. You know, there's all sorts of stuff like that that starts to happen. You know, we try not to make that happen, but of course that kind of stuff is what's going to cause delays. You know, there's a million things that can cause delays, and you know, our job is to try to minimize what causes delays, you know, but shit happens, you know. But so far we're, you know, I'm still saying that it's the end of the quarter that we start producing. So, you know, that's where we are. Yeah.
The play field, was it a triple clear coat? Is that for the LE and the regular?
What was the term that you were using? Double or triple?
Yeah, we call it double. We're hitting it with one extra clear coat.
So there's an extra clear coat that you would otherwise have not received. Whether that, you know. Any other questions? Yeah.
Have you had anybody order multiples because they're intending to operate them?
I believe the answer is yes. I don't really get into how they're going to use it because I don't have a way to know that directly. But a lot of operators or people have asked me whether it's going to have a coin door in it that it accepts a dollar bill changer. So I assume that they're going to be operating it. But yes, I mean, people are going to operate it. I don't know how many. Okay, oh, go ahead.
How many do we plan to start building? There's going to be 1,000 by the end of the year.
Yeah.
Are there plans for more next year?
Well, the plan was that we did 1,000 LEs, and those get built first. And then when we finish building the LEs, then the standards get built right after that, up until the point at which we, you know, feel like we've exhausted the current set of orders, which is why we're doing deposits. You know, the deposits really tell us that there's a real customer behind it, so we can figure out how many parts to order and how quickly to build. So that will happen, you know, as soon as the LEs are done, you know, and we're always saying and haven't changed that we're going to try to get all the LEs done by the end of the year, and then the standards begin after that. So that can happen sooner, hopefully, and possibly later. And then we just go build whatever, you know, if there's however many orders for the standards, then we'll build those and then stop that and then may or may not pick that up, you know, in the near future or the future based on demand. So it's all going to be driven by demand, you know. The one thing that I did want to note is this whole notion around deposits. So the deposits, by the way, every dollar of every deposit is sitting in a bank account for Medieval Madness under my company. So it hasn't gone anywhere. You know, I'm probably going to get a CPA. In fact, I think somebody's son is a CPA, right? To validate that we have the dollars there. But just in case anybody's wondering, we haven't touched a cent of that stuff. It's still sitting in PPS account, and that's, you know, we haven't needed to use it. What we're going to do is probably wait until the pre-production games and then have the discussion about locking in deposits, because we don't really have a urgent pressing need to do that, you know, in the next few weeks. Because we're able to fund the parts purchases for what we need right now. So, you know, for all intents and purposes, you guys are still, refundable deposits up through the point at which we really get the production or the pre-production units, because then we're going to be pulling a lot of triggers real fast to get the games being built. And we just want to start shipping them to people who actually have orders and not have to mess around with a bunch of admin to figure out who's serious and who's not type thing. Okay, so that should give people a little bit more solace, I guess, if you're worried about that.
One question here on the black that you're planning on using.
Yeah.
Are you going to be posting any high-resolution photos of that? And then also, so we can make a decision if we want to go with the black, because chances are this will be the last time we see it in person. Also, on those side rails, will they be put on with double side tape or just
they will be put on with double
side
tape.
Yeah, they're on with the Scotch, like 386 or MP386, something like that.
So we'll have to, if we are going to change something out, we'll have to be careful not to damage any.
The tape
decal
does not sit on top of the decal.
Oh, okay.
It sits on top of the finish, so if you pull it off, you will not damage it.
Okay,
the
great.
Decal.
That's
yeah. Yeah, so we can give you a way to do that. Other questions? Anybody? Okay, well, thanks. These games will be out on the floor all weekend, so please take a look at them. Everybody that's played them, or at least everybody that I've talked to, said they play like their Medieval Madness that they have at home. So that was the most important thing. You know, if it plays, you know, and looks like a Medieval Madness, you know, our interface with Williams, that's the contract, and that's what we said we had to do. So we believe that we're on track to do that, and then obviously try to put as much additional value in entertainment and enjoyment as we can, and so that's what we're trying to do. And, you know, we'll get it done when we can get it done and try to accelerate things, and, you know, hopefully everybody can get their game sooner than later, and have a good weekend. All right, thanks.